This is...
Wow!
What a week.
What a week. Politricks.
Welcome to another edition of Hashtag Politricks on Wow, What a Week. Botsang Modimo Memuyilwa is in the building. And as always, he is coming in smoking hot. And Botsang.
Yes, Tato.
In your KUA top.
Don't come and advertise KUA on this platform.
Looking like a Caucasian South African male.
You did not have to mention it's KUA. I wanted to dress red, actually, and black today.
Ah, yes.
And that was the closest red thing I have. I actually noticed I don't have red clothes since the EFF times.
Oh, no, I thought on Kowaya,
no. No, no, no. Actually, I always thought it's Indian South Africans who like KUA.
I don't
know. But people are telling me it's... white South Africans who have arrived.
No, it's not even that have arrived. I just think KUA is a rite of passage for white males in South Africa. I don't know a single white male that doesn't have a KUA jacket. Not one.
You know what? I'll engage KUA. Maybe they will start diverting their products to me so that I must represent the black people who wear KUA.
Done deal. Brother man, welcome back.
Yes, thanks, my brother. Thanks.
Great episode last week.
Yeah, I think so. I think we had a great episode. But, you know, it looks like the world of politics is forever growing and getting bigger and more challenging, much more interesting. This is very interesting.
And shout out to the person who complained that why don't you have coffee mugs?
Yes. I just sent a screenshot to say we have the wow coffee mugs now.
They'll be available for sale very soon. The fragrance is also still cooking. You should be able to smell like I do. Sooner than later. Right now, let's go to Parliament. The seventh Pali sat, finally.
Yeah, finally, there was the first sitting, the grilling, the infighting.
Yeah.
Look, let me first start by saying the EFF leadership, the Red Berets, had said they are going to conduct themselves differently. Mm. I didn't see anything different on the first sitting. But they actually have intensified and worsened their conduct in parliament. And I'm not saying the conduct is wrong.
Sure.
I'm not at all. The EFF brought a different flavor of politicking in the South African parliament. And I'm one of the people who have said, it's okay, what is this thing of the decorum? Who defines the decorum based on what? Mm. So I think they became worse, but also, with the presidential debate on the presidential budget, vote and performance and all that, I think, I don't know whether to say the ANC or the GNU, because previously members of the GNU, like Inkatha Freedom Party, like the Democratic Alliance, they were calling it the ANC government. It has failed on A, B, C, D, E. Now, because they are part of the bigger slice of the cake, they've got a share. I don't know whether is it the entire GNU exposed by the EFF? Because my observation is the EFF, when they're very prepared with the Umkhonto we Sizwe party, they actually addressed President Ramaphosa and his cabinet and its failures. Because if you look Tato, at the debates and the engagements there, well, Ndlozi was a little bit of an irritant, you know. Dr. Ndlozi, the EFF member of parliament, was a little bit irritant with the intervals and interruptions and all that. Sometimes genuinely so, but they became too much in my observation. And you know what it did? It actually started irritating ANC MPs. But when the ANC MPs during the debate would interrupt Ndlozi or Julius Malema, it was for frivolous issues, you understand? Don't call the president a delinquent, don't call the president. So they didn't come with substance. But when the EFF stopped and interrupted either the president or the ANC or the DA leaders on the platform, they came with facts. Mm. And I'll make an example of how Julius Malema and Dr. Ndlozi and Fred Shivambu, the three of them, add to them Dr. Hlophe, actually challenge the facts the records, the historical background of the performance of the government, to say, but the president, you are lying to us. Your cabinet, your report of the cabinet or of government is saying these figures regarding unemployment, you are saying something else. The promises with unemployment, you are saying something else, your own reports. So you are actually talking past your report. Either you are being misled, Mr. President, or you don't read the report of your cabinet ministers.
True.
It goes back to what? It goes back to the president putting under the carpet evaluation of the performance of the ministers. If he would have gone with the minister in the presidency through the performance process, he would have known that whatever was on his speech, which Julius Malema described as a repetition of sauna, you understand? He would have known that the things that were on that speech are factually misconstrued. And it's very bad that for a head of state to go in front of the international platform for like a first sitting of a seventh administration parliament with misconstrued facts. And I think the president was doing that, and the ANC and the GNU, because they think, or they are used to the fact that people go to the opening of parliament for fanfare. South Africans don't read. South Africans don't listen. They go there, they have a party after. It's a different ball game now. The EFF is the opposition. They've got Umkhonto as the official opposition. But did you see also one of my observations? The DA was more silent at that sitting, except when it was their turn to talk.
Yeah, because it's the, actually now they're in a wedding. But on your wedding, you wait your turn to speak.
Yeah.
There's a marriage now.
So I mean, look at how Dr. Hlophe, and that's something you raised last week, Thato. Do we call him doctor, professor, honorable member, what? And he corrected the president to say, stop addressing me as Justice Hlophe. But he was very kind and, you know, courteous. Stop addressing me as Justice Hlophe. And you are the first person who should be knowing.
Absolutely.
Why
what
I can,
you've done. What you've
what
done.
What you've done. You understand? He did that. But thumbs up to controversies for their preparation. I'll tell you why. And for me, as a public administrator, I looked at that part. What do you, I nearly said justice. Dr. Hlophe comes and says to the president, how is this parliamentary thing working? I'm new here. I don't know. How do you come and ask us to approve a budget without figures? And I was sitting and saying, really, did they do that? Did the presidency do that? Did they go and present a proposal that parliament must support a budget proposal without figures? What is a budget without a figure? What are we approving? Where is the budget allocation there and distribution of the budget? That's one good thing that the Umkhonto Sizwe Party has brought into the fore. You can't say we must consider and approve your budget without, you tell us the entire figure without breaking it down, without telling us how much you're going to spend on vehicle, on fuel, on salaries, and all those things. That's one element. But the other element, Fresh, we spoke about it months ago, it's that you remember President Ramaphosa, when he ascended to power, he took key strategic ministries like state security, and communication to some extent, the GCIS, that
he brought them closer.
He brought them closer. The problem is, according to the South African constitution and parliamentary regulations, the presidency does not get audited. They don't have an oversight committee like other departments. So the president...
As in what? They have a blank check?
Yes. They get approved and they move. They don't get called to parliament like the ministers get called to say, come and explain.
They can't account.
Yes. You understand? If there's a complaint or one political party, maybe in the opposition, or even a member of the public has raised issues to a oversight committee of parliament with a certain minister or a certain government department, that committee will call that minister or that department representative, like HODs, even entities, to come and account, to come and answer. The president is not subjected to that. And that's the problem. There's no oversight over the president of the republic or the presidency. Let's leave the person, the presidency.
What's the problem? What could go wrong?
Well, everything has gone wrong in that department.
Like, what's the worst that could happen?
So the presidency, it's a department, like it's a ministry. Yes, there's a president's office, which includes the deputy president. But you are now sitting with four ministers in the presidency. You understand? At a moment. And they report to the president directly. And these people are not accountable to parliament oversight. And I think the opposition parties, but if also members of the government of national unity are genuine about oversight and accountability, They should all, even if they are part of those eating the more creamy side of the cake, they should all agree that we need an oversight over state intelligence, state communication, women, youth, and what ministers that are sitting in the presidency. They must also account like everybody else so that we can know what is the president doing with all these things. And he should, if I was President Ramaphosa, I will actually volunteer that to say for transparency purposes and for the fact that I want those who are directly reporting to me to be accountable, let them be subjected to what other ministers. Why are they being treated with special clubs? You know what lawmakers will say? There is no provision in the law or in the constitution to do that. You understand? Then we are going to end up in situations where they overspend or they underspend and nobody's holding them accountable.
Wasn't, what, half a billion rand sent back by, is it education?
Yeah, it's health in Gauteng.
Is it health in Gauteng?
Yes, for, and guess for what? That's the sad part, Fresh. A cancer budget. The special budget for cancer, to can help people suffering with cancer. Half a billion.
How, when we have queues of people waiting just for assistance and relief, is half a billion rand not being spent?
It's the same as Department of Higher Education. Sure. They're saying they've sent almost 730 million back to the treasury for somebody who said, oh, at least they didn't steal it. No, that's not how it works. you actually stole. Let me tell you, in the public finance management process, if you were given money, public money, as a department or an entity, to do it in order to improve the lives of the people, to render services to the people, you don't use it for the one for the intended purpose. Two, you don't use it at all. You have actually stolen, and I'll explain to you why.
And you've robbed those people.
You have robbed
of
those
access to
services. You have robbed the people, but you have also robbed the taxpayer, because that money could have been used somewhere, and you are hoarding it. And while other departments are suffering, you know the one for higher education. Let me start with that one. It was meant to increase capacity, to hire more lecturers and all that. Now, the PFMA is very strict if you have budgeted for money for, for personnel, you know, for staff, for salaries, bonuses, and all those things. You don't move that money easily. But they didn't hire the people, just to hire more lecturers. Now, the one for education, for health, it was for cancer services. We know, Fresh, we have just mentioned it, how many people can't afford cancer therapy and chemo and whatever they do in that process. People, normal average, even people with medical insurance, it gets exhausted while they are going through chemotherapy and things like that. And you send the money back. I think from a public administrative perspective, it is caused by various things. One, it's caused by incompetency by the DGs, the HODs, and the finance people in the institution or the government department. It's incompetency because and there's corrective measures that are in place. I mean, I've been in an executive level of corporate services and finance in government for many years, and it has happened that you budget for something and you don't use it. But if you've got good project management processes, when you do your quarterly reviews, midterm reviews, you know, every 3 months, you will realize that no, but this budget is not moving, it's not being utilized. So there's provision that the Treasury makes for that.
Okay, so basically you're saying that because some people argue that if we've budgeted 100 rand for t-shirts, but we know we're not going to get t-shirts for 100 rand.
Yes.
Because some people are arguing that as long as it's been allocated for t-shirts, it can't be redirected.
It can.
But you are saying that, but there's provision for redirection of funds.
There's provision.
They shouldn't be returned.
Yes, it's actually called the verimentation of funds in the treasury regulations. So when you realize that the intended purpose is not happening, you approach the treasury to say, we have budgeted 100 rands to buy t-shirts. However, we have realized that we would not need the t-shirts anymore because maybe the event is cancelled, or we got the cheaper t-shirts and there's change. However, we reprioritized. When we were doing our quarterly reviews, we reprioritized to say, We have discovered that instead of the t-shirts, we need to unblock the toilets or to make it safer and healthier for staff members. You motivate to the treasury.
Sure.
We may be using simpler examples. Normally, government has medium-term, you know, expenditure framework. You budget for the next 3 to 5 years, okay? Where we are sitting, let me use the 2020 COVID-19 lockdown. We never expected that to come.
Sure.
As human beings and as government. So you budgeted in 2017, 2018 for the 2020, 2021. Then lockdown happens and that money is sitting there. But there are other expenditures that are normally not there, like having your staff members working from home. You must make provision for data and things like that. What did we do as a nation? You motivate the treasury to say the money that I had budgeted for electricity in the office and for data, it's lying there because nobody's coming to the office. Can we therefore recommend those funds to can fund data for people sitting at home as individuals?
So in a nutshell, there is zero excuse why money should be sent back to Treasury.
If you do your job properly, there's zero excuse. There are tight ones where Treasury says, this is specifically for A or B or C, and you can't touch that money.
Sure.
But generally, government processes are reasonable processes, and they are supposed to be caring for the nation. There's no excuse. It's bad management. It's incompetency that money goes back to the Treasury. And we're talking over R1 billion now when you combine this, only these two departments. You know, we have NGOs now like Section 27 taking the government to court for not spending the money while people are dying of cancer. What does it do? The government is going to spend more money now to defend this matter in court, to go and explain why they didn't spend money. So you spend money to go and explain why you didn't spend money. The other day I told you a story of when I was stationed in Brazil, I had a junior staff member who was very naughty. So she had a friend in Singapore. And they were calling each other, you know, as colleagues. So they thought calling each other and talking. Now, I always tell people, no business call is supposed to last more than 9 minutes.
Yeah.
What are you doing on the phone for 9 minutes?
Sure.
And the ambassador issued an instruction that I should investigate who was calling Singapore and what was happening. So I obviously delegated it to my assistant. You know what did my assistant do? She called that number to investigate and ask questions. So it get more cost in calling that number. So that's the kind of administrators we sometimes come across. But yeah, there's no excuse. President Ramaphosa must take responsibility. He must come out with figures. He already bloated the government.
So
he already has enough big spending. People are crying for money. And the DA must rise and say, let's cut the cabinet. You know, I've heard people called experts first, saying, it is because of the GNU, they didn't have a choice. What nonsense is that? What do you mean they didn't have a choice? They had to blow the government to accommodate the other party. No, why didn't they accommodate them?
Within
what was existing.
Within the seats available.
Yes.
You can still work the
they
percentages.
They can still work the percentages. They could have even reduced those seats, merge other government departments. The other day in one of our episodes, I spoke about how it cost this country $44 million to have one minister. And I saw people on social media, they actually made a clip of that. She said, this one is talking nonsense. And I said, nobody in government fine has come and challenged me on that because I've put the figures down. It is $44 million to have one minister. It's not the salary of the minister. It's not only salaries, guys. It includes
every cent
to run one ministry. Now we've got deputy ministers have increased. Ministers have increased. We are talking about 63, 64, you know, ministers, deputies included. And imagine $44 million on each. Now the cost of living has gone up. I was saying $44 million last year. I'm telling you, it's not $44 million this year. And I think those are some of the things that are low-hanging fruits. If we are serious about cost-saving measures, we should be implementing to can direct monies, public monies, to the needy, to pit latrines, to potholes, and other things that we need in government. So our oversight committees are not doing what they're supposed to do. But again, I've said it, you have comrades overseeing other comrades. Now GNU is going to see each other. The DA is no longer going to question the ANC. They're going to say, let's eat together. Where is the nation sitting?
May I move on?
Let's move on, brother.
Before I break down and cry.
Don't cry, man.
So the DA and AFRI Forum,
yes,
are challenging the appointment of Dr. Shope to the Judicial Service
Commission. Yes.
What are your thoughts on that?
First, we spoke about, first they were worried that he's a member of parliament. And yeah, you remember we said it, I said it before, that what if he ends up going to sit in that committee, yeah, that recommended his impeachment?
Sure.
The first thing is the AFRI Forum. You know, let me tell you something about these white organizations. And I regard DA, look, unashamedly, so I regard DA as a white organization.
Sure.
There's few house Negroes and black people in the DA, or supposed to be black people, but it's a white organization. It serves, sure, white interests. There's no doubt about it. And they have something they do good, white people in this country, especially the white capital. Whenever they have something against black people or black appointments or black laws, whatever, pro-black laws, they run to courts. We don't do it. We sit on Twitter, social media, and all that. They amass money, they amass legal people, and they approach court. Look at what AFRI Forum is doing. Mm. They went directly to the Con Court. They jumped all the courts regarding Dr. Shope. They went directly to the Constitutional Court. Their reasoning is, why would we go to the High Court already when the High Court has already ruled against Dr. Shope and the president? So they went to the Con Court. But remember, Dr. Shope is appealing his impeachment. The process is on with the Constitutional Court, okay? The DA, on the other hand, they went to the High Court. Guess which High Court? The High Court in the Western Cape, which he was the judge president of the Western Cape.
Yes.
You understand? So whoever is the successor. But their reasoning are, before I come to my opinion, their reasoning are, when he sits in the Judicial Service Commission, as an impeached, they use the word disgraced person, he is going to preside over one, to appoint judges that are going to succeed him.
Sure.
To even appoint judges that will form part of the Constitutional Court, because there's vacancies in the Con Court panel. Or there will be vacancies as well. We know that for example, the judge, the Chief Justice retiring, will already have an appointed Chief Justice, but Justice Meyer's position will become vacant, and therefore they must preside, the JSC. But Dr. Shope is first of all, is neither the chairperson of that committee, nor the only person.
Sure.
There's other people.
So he doesn't hold all the power?
No, he doesn't. No single person, even a chairperson of that committee, does not hold an absolute power.
What if a decision has to be made, and the members need to decide on which direction we're going?
Yes.
And his vote is the swing vote.
Yes.
And the person they're deciding about is Justice Goliath.
Yes.
Whom he is known to have issues with already.
Yes, I understand. Yeah.
Would he need to recuse himself then? If it involved a Justice Goliath, for instance.
You see why I like working with you? That was going to be my answer, to say a solution to this is that, one, you cannot force Umkhonto weSizwe Party as the official opposition not to appoint an acceptable member of parliament, not a former justice, not to occupy a position. The right thing to do, which is a common practice, is that when you are conflicted and presiding over a process, you can excuse yourself. Or a candidate, Goliath in this instance as an example, is sitting there, can request the committee to say, I've got historical conflict. The way Msholozi was doing with Chief Justice, the former Deputy Chief Justice, current Chief Justice.
Not that it worked, but yes.
Yes, you understand. Yeah. Now this is where the problem comes. You see, when we say when people break the laws and the practices for individual fights, it sets a precedent. A Deputy Chief Justice chaired an inquiry in this country. And there was allegations against the sitting president that time.
Yeah.
He refused to excuse himself with a request. Excuse yourself. He refused. A precedent has been set. Zuma was found guilty and sent to jail. Shope may refuse and say, there's nothing that says I should go. I'm not conflicted. I'm one person, you understand? And that's where the problem is, when we break the laws or we start new practices without thinking for the future. But the correct way to do it, it's either voluntarily, an honorable member of parliament, Dr. Shope, will say, with ethics and honor, I'm excusing myself from this city.
But the DA and AfriForum, the irony is, are saying, but is the justice or the former justice someone with ethics and honor in the first place? Because surely that's why he was impeached.
Yes. But where do we draw the line of ethics? We have discussed this before. Mm. If you are found guilty on one level of work or of life, yeah, does it make you, and we spoke of corrective measures, does it make you a person who must just sit at home now and not have a life? Can't you do other things? And there's oversight committees there, and that will oversee that process.
And also, some would argue that the impeachment is the time he has served for the crime.
Yes.
So surely then let life happen.
And remember, this impeachment, it comes with a lot of losses.
Sure.
A loss of benefits, loss of, material stuff.
Loss of your name in jail.
Your name in jail, your title and all that, you understand? Yeah. So it's the price you pay for being found guilty of either a civil or a criminal offense. So he paid the price.
So he's paid the price.
He's paid, even if he's appealing, but he's dismissed. He's no longer sitting on the bench.
Sure.
You understand?
So surely then he should be able to pick up the pieces and move on.
And move on with your life and do other things.
And we assume that lesson learned. But now to put someone in the dustbin of the rest of their lives,
even
at a fairness level, for me, doesn't seem right.
It doesn't seem right, but even now, it's a junior position.
Yeah.
You know, to be an MP, it's a very junior position. From being a judge president of a high court of a province to be an MP, it's a very junior position. So he still continues to pray the price. He has picked his head up, chest out, and say, I'm going to be in the back bench. I'm going to be an MP.
Sure.
A judge and in an average of 3 to 4 million per annum MP. He's the head of the opposition, he's the chief whip of the MK. I'm assuming he's going to be plus minus 1.5 million. Mm. So you move from 4 million rents per annum with all those lifetime benefits and protection to a 5-year term as a member of parliament that the President Jacob Zuma may recall you at any day as the head or the leader of MKP. They can recall you at any time. You are already paying the price.
Mm.
But again, Fresh, where do we draw the line of punishing a human being?
Sure.
There must be somewhere where we are saying enough is enough. Even the worst rapists and murderers in this country who go and serve term in jail for murdering people, the laws of this country makes provision to draw a line to say it ends here. You have been incarcerated for 25 years. Therefore, we think you are rehabilitated.
Sure.
Go back home. I mean, it has happened as recent as 2 months back where a former minister, Ntate Zizikodwa, resigned honorably so from being an MP, an NEC member, and a minister to go and face charges. No. 3 weeks down the line, where's Zizikodwa? He's sitting in parliament.
Yeah, because he's on the list.
He's on the list.
The list says I must be here.
Yeah, the list says I must be here.
So why can't I be here?
So what happened to the honor there? What happened to the ethics there?
Mm.
Why? My point is, why do we selectively apply the rules, whether it's ethical rules, whether it's laws, whether it's natural rules? Why do we want to selectively apply them? But look, as an African man, it doesn't surprise me that racist white people in South Africa will oppose somebody who have been, you know, at the top of wanting to change the laws of this country.
Mm.
It didn't start now.
Mm.
It didn't start now that Hlophe, even when he was in the bench, he challenged the laws of this country.
Sure.
Now they've given him a platform, whether it's us through our vote or them through firing him. Either way, they've given him a platform to can go and implement what he always believed in.
Yes,
I don't know what the courts are going to decide about this, but my political point of view is there is nothing in the law in this country that forbids him to occupy that position. There's prescriptions and practices in the law that says if you are convicted, you just excuse yourself from the process.
Okay, so in a nutshell, you're saying as and when, then he'll step aside.
Yes.
As and when.
Yes. I mean, first, their main point is ethics.
Sure.
It's that he is an unethical person. How many people do we have in that parliament who are unethical?
But also, are you, your transgression, such that we can say that because you are unethical about an issue
at a certain time,
does that make you an unethical person in totality?
Exactly.
Or are you just guilty of a lack of ethics at a certain time?
Yes, of committing a certain time. If you are caught, and I'll use simply, if you are caught driving 180 kilometers per hour on our national roads, yeah, you have committed a crime at that particular time.
And surely your transgression is not who you are.
Exactly.
It's a snapshot.
It's circumstantial.
Of who you once were.
That's my view. That's my view. I agree fully with you.
Okay. In fact, speaking of S and when, Action SA are back in the headlines because now Mr. Herman Mashaba is flip-flopping, as some have said, because he said he would never work with the ANC.
Like the DA have said it before.
Yeah. But now he's saying, as and when in Gauteng province, we shall work with the ANC.
Yes. I think Mr. Herman Mashaba, as Keaton McKenzie will put it, he had bought a wrong ticket of the train. and the train is moving. And he realized that I've got the wrong ticket. Either he bought the wrong ticket or he was at the wrong platform. And he wants to catch up with the train. The Action SA acted emotionally. Mm. If you look at the Government of National Unity Pact, it's his fellows, it is good friends. He is left behind. When you look at controversies and ATM and EFF, it's another pact. Then they are not in the GNU. It doesn't surprise some of us. But Herman Mashaba, all these people are there. All the breakaway parties of the Democratic Alliance are in the GNU.
Mm.
So remember I once said the Democratic Alliance and its funders, they created all these breakaways to can come back stronger.
Sure.
Understand? And Herman has realized that Gauteng 3 metros, Ekurhuleni, Johannesburg and Tshwane, they are hanging.
Mm.
They are hanging on a string. They can collapse. Now, he loves Joburg. You remember he was this, I call him a successful mayor of Joburg because I think he was succeeding when the ANC connived with other political parties to remove him. The same ANC comes and invite him to a coffee table to say, hey bro, look man, come with your votes there. Let's take this Gwamanda out. And the EFF pact, and let's stop working with them and the DA. Let's kill these people and out. But you see what Gauteng is doing? It's acting outside the GNU.
Sure.
Because that's what they are doing here. And Herman Mashaba goes and makes demands. Say, I'll do that. I'll come back and join on condition. And he says the condition, we want a speaker of Tshwane. We want a mayor there. We want a speaker there. He makes those demands.
He's in a position to make demands.
Look, I agree now we are in the government of coalitions and corruption and positions and all that. They all make demands to collapse. Imagine political parties and public representatives who are supposed to be worried about collapsing buildings, about potholes, about we are on watershedded now, that people are not aware of, that every day there's water shedding and people are quiet about it. People are selling water in tankers. Instead of them focusing their efforts on that, they are focusing on collapsing governments. They are focusing on chasing away Gwamanda, on collapsing Tshwane because they were betrayed in Ekurhuleni. Instead of, he will make demands because they've got demands. But Fresh, you know what does it say? It shows me how desperate the African National Congress and some parties like Action are desperate for political positions. It shows the desperation, you understand, of why don't you let go? You didn't win, guys. Let go. Why are you so desperate that you want to cause instability? You understand? They are using the 200-meter thing. One of our followers wrote and said, but you and Fresh, it's you who broke the news of the 200 meters thing, and when people were not aware about it.
Ah,
you remember?
That fundraiser.
That fundraiser to fund them, yes. Now they are listing it in order to can get rid of Gwamanda. Sure. One of the demands of Action SA and Mr. Mashaba is that those 200 levy, look, if you are a Gauteng, not Gauteng, Joburg resident, you will support Mashaba because 200 rand is a lot of money. It's a lot of money. So you will support what Mashaba is saying. But again, it shows for me the unethical conduct. You see, when we talk of unethical conduct, it's this continuous unethical conduct by political office bearers. Gwamanda was okay because he was a lame duck being put there in Joburg. Now we are going towards having the eighth mayor
Sure.
Of the biggest, the most important metro in the continent. Mm. And just because political parties do not agree, but this is a lesson to voters, for those who believe in demon crazy, to say next time you vote, you must vote to make sure there's a winner. Then we won't be sitting with this Mickey Mouse games of people being moved up and down, left and right. And by the way, Herman Mashaba has no backbone politically. Mm. I've always said I like him as a person. But you can see his politics from the time he was in DA, even when he was doing good in Joburg. I think he was doing good, but he doesn't have a political backbone. He doesn't have a principle. Mm. When you have a principle, you do the way he has taken over from Julius Malema as a flip-flopper. Mm. You do what MK has done. You understand? Him and the PAC leader have no principles.
Sure.
And I think the other problem is they don't have people in their political parties who question them.
Mm.
Mm. Question the leadership. You say, no, leader, this is our policy position. We are not going to compromise.
Absolutely.
And the ANC loves it.
Mm.
The ANC loves all that is happening because they are dangling a carrot in front of...
Yeah, that is party.
Yes, that understand? Party. Yeah. So I think it's going to go the ANC route. I think Gauteng metros are going to be collapsed. It will go the ANC route. And the ANC will be in power by hook or crook.
And I mean, Cilliers Brink of Tshwane, for instance, is saying they are after him because he's busy closing every possible tap.
Yeah, but my mayor, Mr. Cilliers Brink, you are closing every tap for the ANC and opening for the DA.
Mm.
That's what they are doing. Mm. He's also bringing the smart meters, who got the contract for those smart meters?
Yeah.
White-owned companies. Mm. Who got the contracts for cleaning water in Tshwane? Mm. White-owned companies. So they're doing the same thing. The only difference is which party is doing it for which pigmentation. But they are after him. They want him out there because Tshwane used to be a feeder of the ANC, especially during Ramu Kupa's time.
Mm.
I lived in Attridgeville. I still have family and friends there. I know a lot of black young guys who says during Ramu Kupa's time, we were eating.
Mm.
Not illegally.
Yeah.
They were stealing.
There were opportunities. Yeah.
There were opportunities. There were meter readers. They were this, they were that, they were that. The DA came and took that away from the people. So it's about itching. It's about satisfying your constituency and giving them businesses through the government. Whether they are doing it procedurally or not, it's a story for another day.
Sure.
But again, Cilliers has been doing it in Tshwane for his own people. I'm a resident of Tshwane. I know what is happening there. I owe the municipality, hundreds of thousands. They've taken away my electricity. I've decided I'm not paying them.
Mm.
Understand? I'm not paying them because that money is not going to be used to come and help me with my situation.
Yeah.
It's going to go to benefit. I mean, I've been changing meters of electricity. In the last 3 years, they've changed my electricity meter 5 times fresh. They were come out of the blue to say, now we have a new one. It's a better one.
Yeah.
After 6 months, another one. And who's covering that cost? It's me as a resident.
Mm.
And it's some of those things that they are going to use against Cilliers Brink.
Sure.
But unfortunately, it's causing more instability in the metros, and service delivery will suffer. And Gauteng is going to be very challenging for Banyaza Lusufi.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But Herman Mashaba, I am not surprised, but I'm disappointed.
Mm.
He has actually played into the hands.
Just hold on. Okay, to speak.
He has been playing to the hands of the people who have been saying he's not a politician. He has just come and gave them aces. So very disappointed with him.
Let's move to immigration, citizenship, asylum seeking, residency, permanent resident. Hey. In fact, there's two cases that I want us to look at.
Yeah.
There's the case of Chidima Adetshina.
Oh, the model.
The model and Miss SA 2024 finalist.
Finalist, yes.
Whose dad is Nigerian. The mother is of Mozambican descent.
Origin, yes.
But she was born in Soweto, though, the mother.
Yes.
And then there's the case of a couple in Limpopo.
Oh, the Limpopo High Court case, yes.
There's a case in the Limpopo High Court where a guy on a work permit comes to South Africa. And then girlfriend on a visitor's permit, I don't know if it's a girlfriend or wife, comes to South Africa.
Yes.
They now have 3 children.
Yes.
And now they're demanding 3 birth certificates that would imply that their children are South African citizens. Because ordinarily, if you are born here, Ordinarily, if you're born in South Africa, but your parents are not citizens,
mm-hmm.
or none of your parents were born here, mm-hmm. you're given a handwritten declaration of birth.
Yes.
Then you must go back home.
To register the birth. Yes, yes.
So your child will go into the registry of whatever registry happens, but you will not be entitled to your children's citizenship.
Yes.
And that's my understanding of the law.
You understand it well, but we must also remember laws and acts of parliament. Mm. They get amended and changed as the countries experience things.
But because as things stand. So I think it was in 2013 where it was amended.
Amended, yes.
That if none of your parents were born here, then you being born here doesn't entitle you to citizenship.
You are correct, Fresh.
In the Americas, yes. In fact, in all of the Americas except Colombia.
Except Colombia, yeah. I don't know how did Colombia be excluded from that. You're talking about the right to land or the right to blood. Are you a citizen by blood or are you a citizen by the land? And the land we mean by a place of birth where you're born.
Absolutely.
Fresh, which one do you want to start with, the court one or the model one?
Let's start with the Miss South Africa one.
Okay. The Miss South Africa finalist, Chidima or something like that.
Chidima.
Look, one has to first say, we are not going to sit here and discuss xenophobia or Afrophobia or what and what is happening on Twitter or X and those things. Yeah. One has to look at what are the prescripts of the law or the Immigration Act or the Citizen. It's actually not even immigration.
Yeah.
It's immigration informing the Citizenship Act.
Sure.
So it's not about what is happening on Twitter.
Mm.
Our law is very clear. And I think, some people with mentally colonized minds are having a problem with it. Our immigration laws are very clear. And you have said it. You have opened very clearly to say, if your parents are not residents in South Africa, confirmed residents in South Africa, they've acquired what they call naturalization.
Okay.
There's another element of being naturalized South African.
Okay.
If they are just residents, and we have talked about this before, we have two types of IDs in South Africa.
Sure.
There's IDs for South African citizens, there's IDs for South African residents.
Okay. So you have a permanent residence permit.
We have a permanent residence permit.
Yeah.
You understand? And to get, let's first close the one of South African citizens. South African citizens is South African people born in South Africa to South African parents, and they are citizens of this country.
So Chidima basically has a right to enter Miss South Africa, is what you're saying?
Depending on, I do not know the rules and regulations of Miss South Africa. What is the requirement? I do not know that part.
We assume you're representing South Africa as a South African.
South African what?
Citizen.
Yeah. You see, now you are qualifying. If you say a South African citizen.
So because her mother was born here,
despite
being her parents being born in Angola.
Yes,
the mother
Mozambique.
Was born
is it Angola? I thought it's Mozambique.
Mozambique.
Yes, yes.
So because her mother was born here, automatically she qualifies.
Not automatically. It depends what was the status of the mother when the young girl was born. Was the mother...
Or was it before 2013? It was before 2013.
That's before 2013. Of course, she's old now.
Yes.
It's before 2013.
Yeah.
It depends what was the status of the mother when she was born.
Okay.
Was the mother a resident of, mere resident of South Africa, or had a permanent resident, or was she here on a visa, or what?
Okay.
If the mother was a South African citizen, whether by naturalization or by birth, we know that it's not by birth, because she was, her parents, the grandparents of the model were Mozambicans or wherever.
Sure. Yes.
The mother was born here.
Yeah.
At that time, before January 2013, if you were born here to parents who had a permanent residence in South Africa, you're a South African citizen.
Automatically. Yeah.
That time. Now, the little girl, Chidima, is born.
Yeah.
How old is she now? In her 20s?
24.
24 years she's born to a naturalized South African parent.
Mm.
Then it means she is a South African, or she qualifies to can be a South African citizen.
Sure.
She could have elected to be a Nigerian because the father is, in inverted commas, in her words, proudly Nigerian.
Yes.
She had an option to say, I want to be a Nigerian or I want to be a South African. You understand?
Sure.
She elected, or the parents elected at that time, that their daughter will be a South African citizen.
Sure.
And I assume she's got a South African ID, which is written. People must go and open the green IDs.
Yes.
It's written there on top under the ID number.
Born
it's
way.
Written South African citizen or South African resident. It's written under the ID number.
Yeah.
It's written.
Yeah.
It depends what is written on her ID. Mm. To say you were born in Angola or in Brazil, like Botswana, Mwila Junior, that's not an issue. My son was born in Brazil.
Sure.
Luckily, we haven't decided whether he's a South African or a Brazilian, but it's not the same issue because he resides somewhere. So it depends on what her ID is saying. If the Department of Home Affairs, under the population register, and this is another thing we must talk about. There's a difference between being the population register of South Africa. It only includes people who are South African citizens. And your citizenry does not, you have already explained how you become a citizen. So in the population register, you become only citizens of South Africa, goes the South Africans.
Sure.
But in the birth register, which is not the population register, it's everybody who was born here.
Yeah.
And you being born here does not mean you are a citizen.
It entitles you to nothing.
Yeah. So in my books, where I'm sitting, this Miss South Africa finalist, if she's got an ID that is a South African citizen, whether the father is Nigerian and the mother was naturalized, she is a South African.
Sure.
And I think it has nothing to do with xenophobia and the looks and the names and the what. I mean, come on, guys. We cannot go and this whole time punish this girl. And also Miss South Africa pigeon, if their requirements says you have to be a South African citizen, clearly when she applied to enter, they must have vetted and went through the process of checking. So for people to come and make noise that she is not a South African, I think it's absurd. It's a sad state of affairs.
In fact, some people are even arguing that we have a double standard because maybe the dad is of Nigerian origins.
Yes.
Because Vanessa Carrera was born to Portuguese parents.
Yes, yes.
Both
I remember
them,
the case of
both
Vanessa.
Both of them were not born here.
Yeah.
But there wasn't this noise.
Fresh. We have an MP, if she's still an MP, from the DA, Mazoti.
Yeah.
Where does Mazoti come from? Where are her roots? Why are we not? We have a lawmaker in South Africa, Mazoti, of Italian origin. But because of what was the position of the parents when she was born, we have laws that endorse that. I'm not saying the laws are right. I'm not saying the laws are fair. But those are the laws of the country at the time the child was born, and they will be implemented.
And as we always say, if you have a problem with the system, change the system.
Or challenge the system.
Exactly.
And now the other case is the case of the Polokwane High Court. Or is it Polokwane? Yes, Limpopo High Court.
Yeah.
Good decision.
I was going to say, that one is clear-cut.
Very clear-cut.
Yeah.
You understand? And it reminded me the conduct, I call it a misconduct, of the current premier of Limpopo, Popi.
Ramathuba,
when she went to hospitals and say you are exhausting the resources.
You're crowding our hospitals.
You are crowding our hospitals and all that.
But she was echoing what the streets are echoing, though.
Yes, yeah, exactly. When Popi was saying that at that time. Now look at how, when you are short-sighted.
Yeah.
You understand how you are boxed in your mind and show. Look what it does now. We were focusing as a nation on foreigners are jumping Limpopo River from Mozambique and Lebombo and Limpopo from Mozambique and what do you call it, Zimbabwe, to come and exhaust and strain, put a constraint on our medical resources. We never thought at that time that actually is beyond that. After they are being treated in hospitals and they've got medical treatment and all that, it's not over. They are now demanding. And you can see how these people have money. They have money, whether it's their money or the NGO's money. You can take the government to a high court. You need a lot of money to
absolutely.
Do that. But I think they were taking chances fresh. Those ones were taking chances. I mean, sometimes our courts as well, I think we should have a system where matters are dismissed from court on application to save time.
Because their legal representative,
yes,
surely knowing what the law says,
you should have said,
told them we don't have a case.
We don't have a case here.
We don't have a case.
And also, but in courts to enroll a case, courts don't just enroll because you bring case. They look at the merits. They look at the facts.
There's a chance.
There's a chance.
Yeah.
So for the court to have allowed it, I mean, the thing is, it's very clear. Their father is Zimbabwean. He was here on a work permit which expires after a certain period.
Absolutely.
I've worked in foreign countries with a work permit. And it does not make me to have right like citizens of that country. I'm a visitor, I'm a guest.
What type of a guest?
A work guest, a medical guest, a student guest, a tourism guest.
Makes demands.
You understand? Makes demands. Mm. And you even go further and impregnate your girlfriend or your spouse or your wife. South Africa is a nice country. Mm. You know, the world of honey and milk will say you can give birth in South Africa. 3 times, not once, not twice, 3 times you make sure your kids are born in South African hospitals.
Mm.
Then after you want to force the government, and this is not xenophobia or what, guys.
Sure.
It is the law of this country. Mm. Whether I agree with it or not, it's another, I must be careful not to become EFF in red and say the borders are must be open.
Personally, I think the law makes sense.
It makes sense.
And I understand why they would have amended it back in 2013, because they foresaw people coming here pregnant already.
Exactly.
So that they can give birth here.
Yes.
And then the child becomes South African automatically.
Yes.
So I think they knew this was happening.
They knew this would happen. I think there was whoever were the lawmakers or those who wrote that white paper during the President Zuma administration in 2013.
Yeah.
And the law actually was written 11, 12, passed in 2013. I think they had a foresight. Yeah. I think they were visionary.
Because it was happening already.
We are going to have a problem in future if we don't manage and handle this. How many kids of foreign nationals are born here? And there's another issue of dual citizenship.
Sure.
Some countries do not allow dual citizenship. Sure. We allow it historically due to the Commonwealth and the British and the UK and all that, which I think is nonsense. We must amend that law. Mm. But we don't allow dual citizenship. You know, at some stage, you must make a point. Which passport do you want to carry?
Yeah, choose an allegiance.
Yes, because another thing that people do not know, passports are not issued to non-citizens.
Absolutely.
You get the passport from your country of citizenship.
Until you naturalize.
Until you are naturalized, then you can get a passport.
Then you can apply for South
of a particular. So, in very clear setting, I want to talk about South African laws. We have made example with all the Americas.
Yeah.
The fact that you are born in South Africa does not make you a South African.
Sure.
The fact that we changed in the past when you had lived in South Africa for over 5 years, you could apply.
Yes.
To say, I've lived here, my kids were born here, and I'm married here. But it was abused, especially with marriages.
There were marriages of convenience.
There were marriages. Yeah. It was abused.
Yeah.
The government changed the law. It's a law of the day. If you are not happy with it, you have voted for that sleepy minister in parliament, go wake that sleepy minister up to say, can we change the law, minister?
Yeah.
And that's how it should be done.
Sure.
But I think these two cases are very clear. The High Court of Limpopo, they were very clear. The case of a Miss South Africa pigeon contestant, it's very clear. I mean, she's a South African citizen, and that's it.
Yeah, anything else is your emotions.
No, we are not going to be dealing with emotions when it comes to human being.
We need to close. But before we close, Kamala Harris.
Yes,
overnight, Joe Biden, we were told, had COVID. He had COVID. Then he went into isolation.
Yeah.
1212, there's a letter. I'm resigning, guys. Does he know there's a letter?
He had a lapse. At some stage, he was giving a speech and he forgot his words.
Okay, but quickly, does Kamala Harris stand a chance against Trump? Because I think she's wasting her time.
Fresh.
And $100 million that she raised this week.
Yeah. Look, Soros, some of the biggest, you know, capitalists in the world, they're baking her up.
Yeah.
That's one.
Sure.
Two, she's a black woman.
Sure.
America never had a woman, first of all, to be the president.
A white woman failed.
Yeah. And she's black and she's a woman.
Yeah.
Knowing politics of America, she stands no chance. Mm. Americans are a very racist nation.
Very conservative.
Very conservative nation. And I said, there's no way that woman will beat Trump, who was already trumping Biden as an old man because of age and the Republicans versus the Democrats.
Yeah.
I think she stands zero chance. The Democrats have voted with overwhelming majority to can be their candidate.
But what if someone stands up before the DNC and says, hey, I actually want to stand against Kamala to represent?
No. They were already pushing President Obama's wife, Michelle Obama.
Oh, yes, yes.
They were already pushing as a second, and another gentleman, a white guy, I forgot the name. But she won inside the Democrats' Congress. She said, no, no, when they were nominating, she raised her hand and the overwhelming majority, over 2,800 votes, I think so.
Yeah.
And but here against Donald Trump, I can put my $100 on the table. I think Trump is going to trump her. I think she stands zero chance. The time is very close as well.
Yeah.
You understand? But because of the conservativeness of the Americans,
sure.
And I think that is a disadvantage. Look, she's a very good politician. She has mm-hmm. made it very well from very, you know, low ranking senates and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a little bit too late. They can only bank on one thing. You know, the Trump corruption trial and criminal trial, they are sitting in September, which is before the elections.
Yeah.
They must bank on that trial to contend him. Then she may rise. Because if Trump moves from that side, I don't see anybody else from the Republican side.
Mm.
I don't see anybody else from the Republican side coming up to challenge Kamala Harris.
Sure.
But if they go to the polls with Trump being a candidate, I don't think she stands a chance.
Okay.
I don't think she stands a chance against Trump. I think Trump is going to come out of this victorious. But, you know, that's the nature of American politics.
Mm.
And they are racially based. They are very conservative. And again, Fresh, you know, we all want women to be leaders. We failed in our own country to can have a woman to be very close to contest, even nationally. We never had that. You understand? So I think the world is still unfair and unjust towards women
and
that in
system,
politics.
And also because they've got the electoral college system.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at what happened with Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, exactly.
Hillary Clinton had more votes than Trump.
Yes.
But because of the electoral college system, Trump ultimately became the president.
And actually, I think Hillary Clinton would have been a better president than Donald Trump. I do like Donald Trump, but she could have then, that time, she could have been a better president. But look at that.
Mm.
She had the numbers. Mm. She had the stature. Trump is a businessman, a little bit cuckoo.
Mm.
But I don't think it's going to happen. She's got no chance.
The one thing I'm looking forward to about Trump's presidency is his decisiveness.
Yeah.
Because with Trump, it's black or it's white.
Yeah, there's no gray area.
There's no between. There's no indecision. It's we're going in or we're pulling out.
Whether we like him or not. And I like politicians who are decisive.
Sure.
Wrong or right. And Trump is very brave. He owns up to his wrong decisions. Sometimes he insults people.
Yeah.
He says all things that are
all
not palatable.
All the time.
Well, is it all the time?
Yeah.
Oh, but shame. I'm happy President Biden.
Mm.
The man must go and rest.
In fact, there's now a conspiracy that says Biden died long ago and we are being shown a double, a stunt double that acts. It's huge on social media right now. They're even showing pictures of then and now. The pictures of the earlobes 10 years ago and the earlobes now. And the fact that your ears never stop growing.
Yeah.
And now people are saying, what if you had a facelift? It's a huge, huge debate.
With Americans and white people, anything is possible. Let me tell you, I'm not going to reduce myself into that, but the American producers are going to be very challenging.
Sure. Yeah. I think let's leave it at that. We are out of time. Where do we find your social media?
Botsangm@gmail.com and
yes,
082-485-9100 and all social media handles at Botsangm.
Thank you for watching. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening on the podcast channels. And thank you very much for subscribing. Please copy the link, share the link, like the podcast, and keep your comments coming in the comment section. Coming to you from AMP Studios, downtown Johannesburg, we are part of the Africa Podcast Network. Email waw@africapodcastnetwork.com. Get in touch with our videographer, Trevor at Pezulu Works, and shout out to our, what do we call him? We call him our imaging specialist, Otis the Floor Fraser, and to the mother of all of us here, our executive producer, Keletso Modisa King. Till next week, have a wild week in spite of yourselves.